Pope Francis had surgery on Sunday in order to treat symptomatic diverticular stenosis. And we'll talk about what that is today. I'll put some medical charts, some drawings of intestines. We're going to talk about intestines today and look at what is the condition that Pope Francis is suffering from and his surgery. Four surgeons, four anesthesiologists, pretty serious situation. He's been in a wheelchair, and we'll find out why that is. And today's not a day to dunk on the Pope. If you're here for that, that's not going to happen today. I'm actually going to ask people to pray for the Pope. Illness is serious, especially at his age, 84. Illness is really serious. So hopefully, you know, if you watch my podcast, you watch my channel, you know that I am concerned with the direction that Pope Francis is leading or not leading the church with regard to sexual morality, doctrine, and also financial scandals. So I'd like to see some things change for the better. And maybe illness is a wake-up call. So before we begin, we are going to pray the Our Father, and we'll pray it for the Holy Father, and then we'll begin. I had a major computer crash, and so my Latin is gone. You know, I usually put that green sheet up on the screen so you can follow along with me. It's not there. So I think I will just, since I can't put the Latin up for you, we'll just pray it in English. We'll break from our multi-year custom here, and we'll do it in English. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. All holy popes, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, all the people who complain about Latin and said, just do it in English, there, you got an English one. Okay, Pope Francis, as I said, Sunday, surgery for diverticular stenosis on the sigmoid section of his colon. He's at Gemelli Hospital, which is where popes, I believe, usually go. And this was released by the Holy See. So it's not gossip. It's not, you know, secret news from the hospital corridors. This is the official diagnosis and the reason that he was having the surgery. And the surgery apparently went well. He's feeling better. And I just kind of wanted to talk about what is symptomatic diverticular stenosis, in particular, of the sigmoid colon. So are you ready for a little medical? Here we go. So this right here is diverticulosis. These are little polyps that can appear on people's intestines, usually older. I think it happens as people enter into their grandfatherly age, late 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. They're little polyps on the outside of the intestine. And as you might guess, they can get pretty easily infected. And if they do get infected, you can get infection that actually leaves the intestine on the outside of the intestine, on the inside. If it's minor, you just get antibiotics. If it's major, there's a lot, there's chronic, if there's cysts, if there's problems, and antibiotics are having to be repeatedly administered. Again, I'm not a medical doctor, but I read some stuff about it. They will actually sometimes go in and remove the polyp, or even sometimes if there's a really chronic section, they will remove that section to make sure that there's no more flare-ups in the future. So apparently this is what was happening, and it was the sigmoid section. You might be asking, well, what's the sigmoid section? And that is this little part right here on the colon. Okay, so it comes down and it turns, makes a right angle. It goes down that right there. That's the area on which he had surgery. Now, did he have a piece removed? I don't know. Did they just go in and remove one of these polyps? I don't know. I read somewhere else, actually it was an interview with a doctor, that his recovery is expected to be 7 to 10 days. So that could be laparoscopic, I don't know. But as you might imagine, if you get surgery on your intestine, you're not going to be walking around. You're going to be in a wheelchair. You're going to have to be resting, let everything heal up. So that is the problem. Now, there's actually two bits of Roman rumors going around. Both of them have to do with this Friday. I'm recording this on Tuesday, July 13th. The first one is that the revision of Summorum Pontificum against the Latin Mass is coming out this Friday. Been watching my channel, especially the one where I talked about traditional Latin Mass onlyism. I believe that we are not going to have a revision or even especially a rollback of Summorum Pontificum. What we're going to see is a demand for concelebration and a demand for all priests in good standing who aren't suspended to concelebrate and perhaps even do the Novus Ordo themselves. That's going to be the test of loyalty for all Catholic priests, in particular traditional Catholic priests, moving forward. The timing on all this and the Pope being sick, I really doubt they're going to make one of the most controversial moves in the history of Pope Francis's pontificate less than a week after the man has pretty serious surgery. That's just not going to happen. So I think the rumors that Summorum is going to be dropped or fudged or modified, I just don't think that's legit. I don't think it's legit. The other rumor is that he's going to resign this Friday at the end of the week. You know, politicians, corporations, they always put their bad news right at the end of the news cycle on Friday. Why do they do that? Because people go home on Friday, they go out to eat, right? They barbecue. Well, if you're Catholic, you got to barbecue the fish. You know, you can do fish tacos, barbecue shrimp. They have some beers. They get together with friends. On Saturday, they go to games and all that. So they're not in the news cycle. So if you drop controversial news on a Friday, the echo of it sort of goes away by Monday when people are back on their screens, back in the office. Hey, did you hear about whatever? Unless there's something really, really serious and a complication from this surgery, I really don't think Pope Francis is going to resign. Months ago, in the Vatican hallways, people were saying Francis is strong. Francis is feeling good. Francis has another 10 years. Now, there's probably some kind of diverticulitis breakout that antibiotics wasn't getting for him. So they went in for surgery. But it doesn't seem that he's in real bad shape. Now, all we can do here is look at a picture. All the sources say he's doing well. I wanted to throw up a picture on the screen just so you could maybe get a feel for it. Here is a close-up. I got to admit, he does look older here. I've shaken his hand twice. Once in Rome when my daughter was taken up into the Pope Mobile as a baby with Pope Francis. Maybe you didn't know that. You know, Margaret, Maggie Power, the little Margaret who comes in with me, she was actually on the Pope Mobile once with Pope Francis when she was little. And he reached down and I shook his hand at that time. That was a long time ago, earlier in the pontificate. And then 2019, so 2 years ago, I was in Rome and I gave him the very first copy of Infiltration, and I actually had a little bit of a conversation with him at that time. And at that time, I got to say, he looked pretty healthy. He was happy. He was jovial. He was in good spirits. He didn't look like a sick man at all. I will say, though, at that moment, I spent about an hour, it's about 10 feet from him during an address. And then afterwards, he came over. That's when I gave him the book. I could hear him wheezing a bit. I was close enough to Francis for about an hour where I did hear the wheezing. And I asked some other people about that. And they said, that's totally common. He's been doing that for a long time. It's not because he's sick. You know, he's missing part of a lung. And he does kind of have that sort of, it's not really wheezing like an illness, but there is this sort of, I don't know, maybe wheezing is the right word. There's a breathing irregularity that you notice in his presence. So here's a picture of him when I met him. And I honestly, I was comparing these photos because I was just trying to think of my own memory. And he does look quite a bit older. Now, of course, if I went into surgery, if I had intestine surgery and I had anesthesia and all that, and I'd maybe been missing sleep, I wouldn't look so great either. But here, this is when I met him. And if you look over on the right, I think he's gained more weight recently in the last couple of years, but his face looks less full. It looks, again, that just could be because he just had surgery. No one wants to be judging how they look after that surgery, but I do think that he looks a little bit weaker there. And of course, that's the situation. So I'd encourage everybody to pray for Pope Francis. As I said in the intro, when you're 84 years old, any illness could be it. A chest cold that goes to pneumonia, that could be it. A broken hip, that could be it. A surgery with any kind of complication, blood clots, anesthesia problems, any of these kind of things can be very serious when you're 84 years old, and he knows that. We need to pray because I know in my own life, when I've been in accidents, when I've broken a bone, broken arms, anytime you come face to face with the fragility of your human life, it makes you or others, a child, a sick child, the death of a loved one, it makes you reflect on how short this life is and how long eternity is. All of us will be judged, not in general. I mean, there is the general judgment, but there's the particular judgment when we die. And the judge then is not going to be St. Peter's, like in a joke. It's not going to be a jury, a group. It's going to be Jesus Christ with his eternal eyes looking into your eyes. And he's going to ask you and talk to you. It may seem like a million years, but it's going to happen quick in a twinkling of an eye. He's going to ask me, Taylor Marshall, you, whoever you are out there watching, Pope Francis, when you were 14, you did this. When you were 15, this happened. When you were 18, this happened. In your marriage, this. You didn't go to Mass for this many years. He's going to ask you why. And it's going to be an opening of your heart. Talk about heart surgery. And he's going to judge you whether you go to heaven or hell or purgatory. And that's going to be it. All of us come face to face with Jesus Christ. The atheist does, the Buddhist does, the Hindu, the Jew, the Mohammedan, the Protestant, the Catholic, the priest, the bishop, the cardinal, and the pope. We all get the same judge based on what we did and didn't do in this life. And we're judged on love. And our actions demonstrate our love. It's real. Hopefully, you look at someone like Pope John the 22nd, not the 23rd, not Roncalli, 22nd. He taught for a long time, many years, a heresy that the Blessed Mother and the saints did not have the beatific vision, that they'd only have full union with God and the vision of God's essence at the end of time and not in the current between now and the end of time. This is a heresy because why would we ask saints to pray for us if they're not with God? They're not experiencing the vision of God. It doesn't make sense. So Pope John the 22nd taught this. The Dominicans opposed him. The University of Paris opposed him. I think the King of France opposed him. Many prominent Franciscan theologians opposed him. The Pope. That's why people say, you can't say about the Pope. Look, we got a tradition of this, of resistance in certain situations. And at the end of his life, I don't know why, but we know he did because he wrote it down. He repented of his error, his theological error, and established the truth and affirmed that the saints do, in fact, have the beatific vision, that he was wrong, that he had taught error as a pope. We need to pray for that for Pope Francis and also for myself. I read theological books, I read Thomas Aquinas, and I go along and sometimes I think, you know, I missed that before. I thought wrongly about that. I was in material error on this point. And also our morality. Are we living for the Lord with love, with purity, with light, brilliance? Okay, so we're going to close up. We'll pray the Hail Mary in, well, I was going to say in Latin. Should we do it in Latin or English? I think we'll do it in Latin, even though I can't put on the screen to share with you. We did one English. We're going to be ecumenical today. We did one English. We do one Latin today. And we'll offer it for Pope Francis. And if you've enjoyed this, please like the video with a thumbs up. Please share the video on Facebook with your friends. Just hit the share button and then share on Facebook. It's click and then click and you're done. And then you can watch or you can listen to this channel on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're new, please hit the subscribe button and then next to it, hit the bell and you'll be notified whenever I go live. I might do another video today. I had lunch with Father Altman, Father James Altman. He was in town. He was in Texas yesterday. And we got to spend several hours together just talking. And I was really, really had a good time with him. And I kind of want to share some reflections of our conversation. So I might do that later today. If I don't get it today, maybe tomorrow. All right, we'll pray the Ave Maria for Pope Francis. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, or pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, please like and subscribe, and remember, our Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless and Godspeed.